In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Year after year, we come forward. Year after year, ashes decorate our foreheads. Year after year, a cross adorns our foreheads. So year after year, we are brought into this reality. Dust you are, and to dust you shall return, and you are redeemed by Christ. So nothing has changed in your life in the past year. Old kids have grown older, increased in intelligence. Perhaps you have a different job. Perhaps new adventures and travels. But nothing really has changed. Ashes still adorn your foreheads. We strive to improve our life. We stop sin. We've gotten better. Wives strive to submit to their husbands, and husbands strive to love their wives as Christ has loved the church. We want our actions to be perfectly aligned with the Word of God, for that Word alone reveals what is good and right and true for us. So if we have a foul mouth, we stop. If we don't go to church, we start it. If we spent too much time on electronics, we cut it down. If we don't know the Ten Commandments or the Creed, we learn them, and then we add the Catechism. If we don't regularly pray and daily read the Scriptures, we start. We seek to conform ourselves to that Word, believing God's promise that it will not return to us empty. More and more, we seek to align words and actions to the Word of God, because that Word reveals what is real and true. We were not redeemed by the blood of Christ so that we might continue to sin and follow our own fleshly desires, but so that we might live holy and godly lives out of thanks and praise to Him who gave His life for us. We are not our own. We were bought at a price. We are not free to live and to act and to think and to do as we please. We are free to thank and to praise God day and night. We belong to Him. St. Peter says that you are partakers of the divine nature. The divine dwells inside of us. We are His holy temple, His eternal dwelling. For a time, thanks be to God that He dwells here in this sanctuary, but He dwells within your body forever. That is what He desires, a communion with you now and forever. And so you strive to live according to that reality. And it can be hard to adjust one's life to the reality of God's Word, especially if we have lived in persistent error for some time. Likewise, it can also be very difficult to conform our thoughts and our feelings to that Word of God, especially if we have been told that whatever we think and feel is perfectly okay. But Christ has set us free from the desires of the body, and not simply the sinful desires of the body, but even from hunger and thirst. Christ has set us free to desire greater things than food and drink, house and home. Sinful actions do not align with reality, and neither do sinful feelings. So the Christian life is ultimately one of discipline and self-control, making sure all that we do aligns with the Word of God and all we think and feel conforms to that same Word. For the Word alone determines our reality, not what we think and not what we feel. We know that. But let's flush it out a little more. If we choose to live by our thoughts or our feelings, then we are choosing to live by a lie. For it is only the Word that tells us what is true. Where our feelings are not aligned to that Word, we must make the adjustment. Repent and believe the Word and conduct our lives accordingly. So worry and anxiety is to believe the lie that tomorrow is dependent upon me and not upon God. It's a first commandment issue. Or the statement that I don't love my spouse. Which is real? The way that you feel, or the word of God that declares that you are flesh of flesh and bone of bone, not two but one? So we strive to conduct our life, our words, our actions, our thoughts, and even our feelings according to God's word. That determines our reality. Thanks be to God when our thoughts, words, actions, even when our feelings align with the word of God. It is a joyous day when that happens. Truly, thank and praise God when you have joys in the things that God has given to you, not only the eternal, but also the earthly. And yet it can be hard work. We struggle forward. This is our life of sanctification, that more and more we would align thoughts to the word of God, and more we would think and act and speak and even feel like God. This is our reality as temples of God, that he dwells in us and should be manifest in all we think, say, and do. But we cannot just stop there, or else we end up building and storing up earthly treasures. We've improved from last year, thanks be to God. We've adjusted and repented where needed, thanks be to God. We are better people, thanks be to God, but the same ashes still adorn your foreheads. These godly improvements are good and necessary, but not one of them has fixed your heart. We still are dust. We still are ashes. We still have a fallen flesh, and we still need a Savior. Our works cannot salvation gain. They merit only endless pain. Underneath the beautiful complexion and the lively gaze, underneath the improvements and the good works, still resides that sinful flesh who is worthy of hell. And so today, with these ashes, we are brought back to reality. Works cannot fix this. Makeup cannot fix it. Working out cannot fix it. The cross can. Our works do not store up treasures in heaven, for Christ has already filled heaven with his work. As Jordan water streamed over his back, he was clothed with the very sins of men, so that he might be the Savior of all men. There in that water stands a substitute, bearing our sins, our punishment, our death, and our curse. Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world by his innocent blood and holy suffering and death. Heaven is open to Christ because of what he has accomplished in his life. He earns a righteousness that no man can earn, a perfect life according to the law. And so he deserves to go to heaven. He says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He died and went to be with his Father, having completed all that God had given him to do. The law declared him righteous, for not one sinful thought, word, action, or feeling was ever contradictory to that word of God. And yet do not forget what else Jesus said from that cross. Today you will be with me in paradise, he spoke to the thief. For what Christ has accomplished, he did not accomplish for himself, but for those who are sinful. Christ died to remove sin, but he also lived a holy life so that righteousness might be yours now and forever. So whether you feel like you have it or not, whether you have lived perfectly or not, this is your reality. Dust you are, and Christ has redeemed you. He has taken away your sin and put on you his perfect righteousness. So shall you in faith ever stand before him. So throughout this past year, nothing has changed for you. Reality still remains the same. Dust and ashes, redeemed by the blood of Christ. Though your works have increased and decreased, though your love grew and at times did fail, God's love for you remained the same. He loves you, not because you improved and got better, but because his son died for you. So we are back here yet again on this Wednesday because we need to hear that reality once more. We need to be conformed to that reality once more. We should improve in godliness. We should know more of the catechism and the scriptures than what we did at this time last year. We should be more self-controlled and disciplined. We should be more courageous and steadfast. But none of that changes the heart of God. We get better, but the blood of Christ alone is our salvation. Christ's death alone saves. It alone has changed our hearts, drowning them in a font and raising them to a new life. And so we can escape a false worldview, a false view of ourselves and false feelings, only in the blood of Christ. We are new, holy, and righteous through him. So here we are at Ash Wednesday yet again, not for the sake of ashes, but for the sake of the Word of God, that our hearts and our lives would be conformed to that Word. Ash Wednesday is not the goal. Good Friday and Easter is our goal. His passion and his resurrection is the center of our entire life. We struggle forward in our life of sanctification, but each day is begun in the name of him who loved us. And each day is concluded in the same. Each year, begun in the name of our Lord, each year ended in the same. In fact, every task we undertake is undertaken in the name of him who shed his blood to make us pure and holy, and is completed in the same. Because for Christ's sake, what we are and what we do is pleasing in God's sight. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.